Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 16th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Big news today! Jack Leiter is going to be making his MLB debut for the Rangers at 1 p.m. Eastern Time against the Detroit Tigers on Thursday afternoon. Oh, Nick, are you going to be streaming on playback.tv/pitcherlist when that happens? You bet I am! Let's watch it together, guys. Come on by 1 p.m. after that stream. I'll probably end the stream at 12 in the morning, get some lunch, and then we'll be back at 1 o'clock to just enjoy Jack Leiter together. It's going to be great. And did you know that I stream every single morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time at playback.tv/pitcherlist? I call my office hours. If you have questions about anything that I do, that is the time to talk to me. If you're on Twitter and you ask me questions during then, what are you doing? Come on to the stream. It's 100% free. You don't put in a credit card or anything like that. Just make a free account and hang out with our chat, which is amazing. We have over 300 people hanging out right now. So come on by. Edward Cabrera is the big news from yesterday. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. This was his season debut. We actually had a lot of season debuts, which we're going to get to later in this one. 17 whiffs, 42% CSW for Edwin Cabrera. Yes, of course, that is a golden goal. Actually, co-chair of the Gallows poll in there. 42% CSW obviously gets that King Cole too. I thought this was still ill material. I picked him up in one of my leagues and put him in the IL spot just to be an IL stash. And whoa. Okay. Do you remember Edwin Cabrera from last year? What was the issue? Well, he had a really good changeup that he was throwing for about 60%+ strike rate. He had a curveball that was there as well, but the four-seamer, well, at times it was like a 55%, 50% strike rate pitch, and that was it. He needed something else to get strikes. Guess what? He has a dope slider. This was 88, 89 miles per hour down in glove side consistently. It was insane. Really, this is incredible. Edwin Cabrera in this game threw 21% fastballs. None of his pitches were under a 60% strike rate. None of them. What? Now, I will say, I watched all of it, all 6 innings. Edwin Cabrera did throw a lot of waste pitches, non-contentious pitches, right? That really got him into sometimes a 2-0 hole or just 2-2 when it was 0-2, stuff like that. 100%. And it does showcase that there is that floor still there for the inefficient pitcher that does not go 6 innings and 91 pitches, right? This was also against the Giants, not the best team. But hot dang, seeing these curveballs fall into strikes constantly, seeing a ridiculous 92 to 94 mile per hour changeup, 97, 98 on the fastball, at times elevated to get whiffs. He has like 17 IVB now, 17 vert. Remember, the average is like 15. When you get to 17, that's when we go, oh, dang, this is good. Yeah, this is really, really cool. 6 whiffs on that slider on 15 that he threw. What? Edwin Cabrera, this, you looked like an ace yesterday. So yes, pick him up. There are a lot of guys that we have in like the 50s and the 60s of my list right now, which are trying to figure it out, trying to get there. Like someone asked in chat, Luis Gil, Casey Mize, or Edwin Cabrera. It's Edwin Cabrera. None of those guys have done this thing. If you have done this thing, then you are more highly regarded than the ones who are hoping to do that thing. Just that's really it. He deserved to be dope here. And it wasn't like one of those starts we've seen from other guys where it's just like one pitch does it. Right? Where it's just one slider that just happens to be really good that day, and he happens to get enough called strikes on his fastballs, and that's it. Brady Singer. This was all of the pitches looking phenomenal. I mean, it was great. You might see a video on it. He looked like a top 25 pitcher. You know, if this is what I see every time. I don't think we will, but Edwin Cabrera, my gosh. Oh, it's beautiful. And I will mention, too, in the spring, before he got delayed, Edward Cabrera was looking great, right? Like, he was throwing strikes. He wasn't walking batters. And we just thought, oh, maybe this actually could be working. We don't know. It's a spring. And then he got hurt and you know, dampened all of our love. But, like, now here we are and beautiful. Seth Lugo did exactly what he was supposed to do against the White Sox. Lovely to see it. Same with Zach Eflin against the Angels. I know we needed this one because Eflin hasn't been that amazing. But, yeah, awesome stuff. Sonny Gray looking great. Six innings, six Ks, 72 pitches against the Athletics. And now you're going to go 80-85 and everything's cool. Cutter Crawford, very interesting. Against the Guardians, zero earned runs. I believe he's allowed one earned run this year. But I don't think he's seen the sixth inning yet. Or, like, seen the seventh or at least finished sixth. I could be wrong, but 5.2 innings here for a Philly. Two hits, zero walks, zero earned runs, six strikeouts, but just six whiffs, 21% CSW. And I brought this up with Eric Smolski on our On the Corner podcast last night, on Monday night, where Cutter Crawford's best pitch, is unknown to me. Is it the four-seamer? Is it the cutter? Is it the sweeper? Because I don't think he knows. And it's a case where you're looking for at least two of those to be working on a given day. Sometimes the splitter shows up a little bit, sometimes a curve, whatever, fine. But I don't really feel as if he has the one that's like, no, I need something right now. This is the pitch I turn to, right? And that's a little scary for me. I feel like I've encountered these kinds of pitchers before where they have like a good mix of things, but nothing is actually leading the pack. And if there isn't something leading the pack, then it's, you know, you're going to stumble a bit more. You're going to be inefficient more, right? Where it's just like, what do you throw now? I don't know. And I get that sense of Cutter Crawford. That's all to say, like, he's still top 50 and everything. We're happy to have him. It's going great and it should be the time of celebration, et cetera, et cetera. But when I'm watching guys, like, that's constantly a feeling that I have of, like, what are you going to throw right now? Like, I don't know. Does any of this work right now? Do you have any of it? Like, we saw in that Angels game, like, he just couldn't throw anything for a strike all of a sudden. It's like, oh, right. Because you don't have that thing that is all reliable necessarily, which is kind of interesting, but it's another mold that I'm going to explore a little bit more this season. But anyway, Cutter Crawford, you keep holding on to him. Everything's cool. Okay. Michael Lorenzen showed up to go against the Tigers, and because Cody Bradford's hurt, five innings, zero runs, three hits, five walks, four Ks, and 79 pitches. Yeah, that's not great, five walks, but sure, we'll take it. I don't really think he's all that great. I do not want on my fantasy teams Michael Lorenzen. He gets Atlanta next. And I didn't mention really before, Jack Leiter, he's coming up. Do we pick him up? Yeah, he's worth the spec ad. He was sitting 96-97 in his last game in AAA for Round Ball Rock. I'm just kidding, for Round Rock? Yeah, Round Ball Rock. I absolutely did play the NBC, NBA and NBC theme while I talked about Jack Leiter before. He's worth a spec ad. It does look like it's just one of those call-ups that is just to give breathing room for the staff because he played so many straight games. Again, Smolski, thank you so much for that one. So I don't think he's going to be a mainstay in the rotation after this one. Still, it's against the Tigers, and I think he's going to be throwing like 97, 98, maybe even some 99 in there because he's going to have so much adrenaline. His four-seamer had 12 whiffs in his last AAA start. He's going to do that against the Tigers. I like that start, honestly. It's going to be a questionable one because the MLB debuts always depress. But yeah, I think he's worth a spec ad for that one. And who knows? Maybe the Rangers go like, you know what? We're not really too impressed with this, Lorenzen. We're not going to do this. We'll just go with Jack Leiter instead. Or maybe there's someone else between now and the potential second start for Leiter to actually be there still. Weirder things have happened. So take a spec ad on Jack Leiter and see where that goes. Xavier Curry against the Red Sox. Five innings, zero runs. We do not expect this to last. I guess he gets the Athletics, but I just don't really think that he's that great. 91, 92 mile per hour heaters, 33% CSW in this one for that. And then he also has a slider that worked, but he has an inconsistent change in curve. It's just like all, ugh, and I don't really want to go for Xavier Curry. Aaron Nola had a fantastic outing against the Rockies with Rocky Road. 7.1 innings of one run, nine strikeouts, five base runners. We need that. We really do. Take advantage of the bad teams. And it was 12 for 34 whiffs on his curveball, which was well spotted. I mean, not to say that Aaron Nola has been bad for your fantasy teams. It was really just one game against Atlanta. What do you know? But his curveball hasn't been as sharp as we've wanted it to be. And this was a sharp one, and he really got rewarded for it. In addition, he did go high on his four-seamer, but he didn't get a single whiff on it. He's like so close. I mean, in the chat, we saw Wheat saying that that the Rockies were just sitting fastballs the entire time, so maybe that's why, but, oh man, we're like so close, right? Aren't we? Okay. Reese Olson, 17 whiffs for a co-share of the Gallows Pole, 6.1 innings, one earned run against the Rangers, 8 strikeouts, 7 base runners. We love it. But also no Seager, no Langford in that lineup because it's a day game today. So, okay. That said, 10 over 28 whiffs on the changeup is still lovely. And the slider was better. 75% strikes, 5 whiffs. That's good. So with those two pitches working, I feel a lot better about Reese Olson moving forward. He certainly gave us a scare in his last one. I was hoping it wasn't a decline. But we're good now. And we should feel confident against the Twins later this week. All right, we have a lot of other guys to talk about from yesterday's games. And of course, we're going to talk about tomorrow's starters after this break. Chris Bassett against the Yankees did Bassett things, and just put him in your lineup. Cal Quantrill, 1 earned run in 6 innings with 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Come on, Cole Story, bro. Ben Brown against the Diamondbacks, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Just 6 whiffs, 32% ZSW. He snuck in for 17 called strikes on his 4-seamer. 3 for 61 4-seamer whiffs. I don't know how much I can buy into that. Now, 61 thrown makes the 17 called strikes a little bit more understandable. I mean, that's what, like a 24%, 25% called strike rate? But man, like, I don't want that. it's a two-pitch guy with a fastball that isn't missing bats, and the curveball is a little inconsistent. Now, also, does he start moving forward? Jameson Taillon's returning to the rotation this week, theoretically replacing Ben Brown. Now, Kyle Hendricks could get displaced for Ben Brown. I imagine Brown gets sent down, and then they go, okay, fine, Kyle Hendricks, whatever, and they go Ben Brown. And then after that, it's Cade Horton. So Cade Horton, to me, is whenever there is another spot after Ben Brown. Like, Cade's number 7, Brown is number 6 at the moment. If you want to hold on to it, by all means, he would get the Marlins. But I don't really feel that Ben Brown adds enough electricity for this. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm undervaluing the low hit rate here at 1, but I feel like it's not going to last. The Irish Panda, Patrick Sandoval, 5 innings, 1 run against the Rays. We love it. He actually located down with his changeup and his slider, and that's so good. Is he going to do that consistently? Probably not, but this was nice. Merrill Kelly did Merrill Kelly things. That is cool. Good job, buddy. Thumbs up. Darius Vines went against the Astros. 1 run in 4.2 innings. I don't really think that he is going to stick around. And I don't really think this is a legit starter. He has a changeup and a cutter. And that's about it. And it's just not really like... it's not enough. I imagine Atlanta is going to be interchanging that number 5 spot for a bit here. Maybe Darius Vines does get more of a look. And maybe he becomes a Vargas role like Elder did last year. But I just... it's okay. George Kirby, new slider yesterday looked a lot better, which is good. And also his 4-seamer is back at 96 miles per hour and earned 8 for 43 whiffs as he actually did elevate effectively. So thank you for being good again, Kirby. I appreciate you so much. I mean, it was 6 innings and 6 Ks. It wasn't like it was 10 Ks or something. But we will absolutely take this. This is the guy that we were actually hoping for, so that's wonderful. Adrian Hauser threw a lot of changeups and sliders to actually save this one because his fastballs weren't really working against the Pittsburgh Pirates, but he had 5 walks, 5 Ks, and 2 in runs, and 5.1 innings, and whatever. I don't really want to go after Adrian Hauser. Mitchell Parker made his MLB debut against the Dodgers. And guess what? 5 innings, 2 in runs. 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. So he throws a 4-seamer that has... good IVB at 91-94 from the left side. It jumps on them a little bit, and he has a big hook that landed for a 44% CSW. That's it, though. It's just really two pitches. I wouldn't say that the 4-seamer should be this amazing, oh my gosh, overwhelming pitch. It was 1 out of 44 whiffs on it, and the 1 whiff was his hardest thrown at 94.6 to his first batter of the game. That is Mookie Betts to strike him out up and away. Okay? So, after that, 0 whiffs. I'm what, like 42? 41 4-seamers. I don't think this is something you should be chasing here, especially with the context of the Nationals. Now, same thing with Nick Nastrini against the Royals. He actually had a decent fastball shape. Not the greatest extension, but solid-ish extension with like 1.3 height-adjusted VA, which is good. 1 is average. 1.2 is good. 1.3 is better. Like, okay. And once we get to 1.4, 1.5 is when we start to get excited, right? That essentially means it's a flatter 4-seamer on delivery. It has good IVB on it. So maybe there is something to squeeze out of that, but it is really just at like 93. So I'm not sure if this is going to be that kind of thing. Also, he's not quite like the upstairs elevated guy on it. But this was not bad. And like, I don't think that Nastrini is a terrible command pitcher or anything. Actually, he gets on top of the ball well and he delivers well. which does suggest to me that he can be a control guy and be able to stay, look, changeups down and gloves arm side and sliders down in glove side and four seamers upstairs. He could do that Imperial shuttle. So definitely keep an eye on Nastrini, but I'm not going to be chasing it at the moment. It's really a shag rug right now. He really needs to fine tune all of those three pitches, I think, to make this really work. Nastrini is someone to keep my eye on. He actually is going to be the first of two for the White Sox who are making the MLB debuts. I'm not going to talk about today's starters, but I will talk about Jonathan Cannon, who is making his debut today for the White Sox. He's a sinker, like low 90s sinker guy with a cutter. Doesn't really appeal as far as the grand 12-teamer fantasy landscape. I don't really expect it really for 15-teamers. Also because it's the Chicago White Sox. So Nastrini would be the one to go for as someone who could make that five strikeouts in five innings actually last. I mean, this is a very good debut against the Royals. Five innings, 200 runs, three hits, two walks, five Ks for Nastrini, right? We will take that all day in 74 pitches, throwing enough strikes, and hopefully those pitches can be polished a little bit to actually become like a sustainable arm. So, you know, I'm talking myself into this now, as I say it, for Nastrini, that maybe he's worth a spec at against the Twins next week. It would be a two-start week. I don't know who the second start is. I know it's the Twins first on Monday. I don't know who the second one would be. I should, but I don't, and I'll probably remember it by the end of this podcast. But anyway, Nastrini maybe is worth that spec ad because I can see that coming together with better command outside of his opening start jitters. Cole Irvin against the Twins, speaking of which, 4.2, 200 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. Yeah, 3 whiffs. Just don't go after Cole Irvin. I know it's a good team of context, but I just don't think it's worth it. Spencer Arrighetti has a very flat four-seamer as well, a 1.4 on his HAVAA. That is the attack angle, everything, the height-adjusted vertical approach angle. And he got 15 whiffs here. He had a good four-seamer upstairs. I liked it. I liked it a lot more than I saw in the first one. It's against Atlanta, but 4 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks. So he didn't go very long, 87 pitches. We got some curves and sweepers and cutters and stuff. And like, I see how this works. We're going to see Arrighetti, I'm sure, again later on. And I'm curious to see how he's going to play out this season. Kyle Harrison, I should say about Arrighetti, I don't expect him to stick around the rotation now because we have Verlander returning on Friday against the Nationals. So that's not really a situation to pick up Arrighetti because he's not going to go again. But when he does return at some point in the season, which I'm sure he will, we can at least say like, okay, cool, this is a good team context and one of those guys that the Astros can go for. By the way, yes, thank you so much, chat. Nick Nastrini would get the raise in that second start. And honestly, that's a very, very sneaky two-step of Nick Nastrini against the Twins and the Rays next week that I actually would consider for your 12-teamers. Kyle Harrison, 6 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Hey, that's a very poor quality start for Kyle Harrison, who only went 358 whiffs on his 4-seamer against the Marlins. No! I do like that Harrison's throwing changeups instead of curveballs. Like, that's a better approach for him, and hopefully the curveball can become a bigger whiff pitch, but the changeup is looking better. But you gotta dominate with the 4-seamer, and if you're not doing that as a Stretch Armstrong, right, he's an extension guy, you have very, very bad IVB. Like, you have drop on yours. So you need to be flat, which he is, and you need to get good extension. Like, you need to then nail it upstairs and be better than 3-for-58 whiffs on your 4-seamer against the Marlins. Annoying. Joe Musgrove struggled early, looked bad, saved the start for a quality start, but it was a very, very, very poor quality start with 11 base runners in 6 innings with 300 runs. Oh boy, and only 3 Ks. And yeah, it doesn't look great right now because the breakers are just, those were poorly spotted. It was either way too far in the zone or out of the zone. He's just not in a groove. The fact that he's still getting to the finish line, got you a win, is something to be said for a guy that just is not at his best. But maybe I should be just considering him like Chris Bassett, you know, and I have him in the top 25. And I think, I mean, I'm fortunate that we're going to get one more outing for Musgrove this week against the Jays. And we'll see how that looks. But I get the feeling it'd be more of the same. Martin Perez, oh man, it came to a close here. 5.2 innings with 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. So he gets the Red Sox next. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And I feel like it's time, guys. This is what the Vargas rule is. When you see the wall, you don't continue. Is this too much? Is this too little? Just 300 runs. 1 strikeout, 4 whiffs, 24% CSW. I mean, sure, maybe the batted balls could have gone differently. It's the Red Sox next. I'm not doing it. I'm moving on. Ross Stripling against the Cardinals. Eh, whatever. Maybe the worst matchup. But no, I don't want to do it. Luis Gil. Oh, man. This stinks. Five innings, 300 runs, three hits. Oh, not so bad so far. Six Ks, right? 16 whiffs, but seven walks. Seven walks for Luis Gil. And I thought about this. Like, James Paxton walked eight against the Padres. And it was a similar thing where both guys, Luis Gil and Paxton, missed glove side with their four-seamers and then hugged that corner. That is, they missed too high or too inside or too off the plate laterally. But they were all condensed. They were all, like, precise. They didn't go into another quadrant of the zone or something. And generally when I've seen that in the past, it means that, cool, you just make an adjustment for the next start to bring that back. It's not really a long-term thing. However, we've been waiting, I certainly have been, for Heal to get this in order. That is, not necessarily his four-seamer command, but more of his changeup and slider to support him, as we saw in the spring. And we know how good that four-seamer can be. I mean, earn a lot of whiffs and everything, but yeah, no, you can't do this. And people ask, okay, Edward Cabrera, Luis Gil. I'm going with Edward Cabrera because Luis Gil isn't doing it yet. So I do believe long-term he will. The Yankees are just going to let him go every 5 days and whatever. I would also give this one more shot against the Rays because it's the Rays. But dang, Luis Gil, like, I know you can do it. I know it's in there, but we can't wait forever for this. And if you're turning down something like Edward Cabrera, then yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. You should go for Edward Cabrera instead. Same with Louis Varland, who isn't as highly touted by me. against the Orioles yesterday, 5 innings, 4 runs, 11 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. He does not elevate his four-seamer enough. He has all the good shape of the four-seamer that you want. He has above-average extension, good IVB. He has a flat angle. He's at 96, 97 now, not even like 95. He even had like 93, 94 times last year, 96, 97, but he just can't locate it upstairs. And if Louis Varland can't do it, he hasn't done it yet all year, then I can't wait for this to continue. Like, this is just really frustrating. Also, I don't even know if the Twins are going to let Varland get that next game against the Tigers, which is kind of funny because that's what happened last year. Remember, they gave him a chance as a starter and then he was getting all these bad matchups. And finally, we got a start against the Tigers and he didn't come through. And I said, just give him one more. And he had another start against the Tigers and Minnesota said, nope, we're going to move on. So, are they going to stick around with Louis Varland? I don't know. I hope they do. Give him one more shot. But Varland, you have to locate those upstairs. Talk to Bailey Ober. Talk to Joe Ryan. Figure this out so badly. You need to. Frankie Montas against the Mariners. Womp womp. I was in Seattle. And he's a cherry bomb without it being too sweet. So streaming option? Streaming option. Tyler Glasnow, what the heck, against the Nationals. 5 innings, 6 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Like, what? Is this because I put him at SP5 on the list? I'm sorry. Shouldn't have done that, I guess. I mean, whatever. We move on. And Joe Ross against the Padres. Honestly, it was really good for 4 innings and then just wasn't in the 5th. I wrote the 6th. I meant the 5th. I apologize for that. But there is actually a good slider in there. And don't count that out as a desperate stream moving forward for Joe Ross. But yeah, this wasn't fun at all. All right. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We have Freddy Peralta, Pablo Lopez, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Tarek Skubal, Max Fried. These are all studs that you should be starting. Yes, even Max Fried against the Astros. Christopher Sanchez gets Rocky Road. Reed Demers gets the Rays, yes. Bryce Miller in Safeco, sorry, T-Mobile, against the Reds, yes. Michael Wacha against the White Sox, yes. Kevin Gausman's here. It's against the Yankees. I know we're all scared, so I have him in auto. If you want to put him in probable, by all means, if you don't want to bench him, I get it. I'm just going to say, look, until Gausman like really actually falls apart and A, walks batters or really just has a consistently low four-seamer and just is like hurt, I'm going to keep going with Kevin Gausman. Same with Michael King. I mean, at the Brewers here, he's had some bad matchups and also has showcased that he has good command still. The only thing left is his sweeper. So when that sweeper returns, which it should, because it was amazing last year, he's going to be phenomenal and everything, and I'm going to trust him here against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Probable start is Zach Littell against the Angels. Yeah, Tanner Houck against the Guardians. I know it wasn't very good last time, but we should be going with this. Marcus Stroman against the Jays. That is a start where you don't really, like, treat him like Chris Bassett, okay? Just start him. And Dane Dunning against the Tigers. That is our stream pick of the day. It is against the Tigers. Makes a lot of sense. It's a winning ball club, and Dane Dunning is good enough to take down Detroit. Questionable start here. You have Andrew Abbott against Seattle in Seattle. He's in the rotation now with Nick Martinez out of it. They put Nick Martinez in the pen after last year. I remember I was just saying, let Nick Martinez start. He finally got an opportunity to. And what do you know? The Reds go back on what they said about Nick Martinez, saying that they're going to let him start to keep Andrew Abbott in there. It's just how it works, I guess. Against the Mariners, I don't think that Andrew Abbott has a good enough fastball or breaker or really just that thing to demand the start, but we all know that this can work for him. Paul Blackburn hasn't allowed a run yet, so fine. I guess we're going to start him against the Cardinals maybe. Like, I don't trust this lasting. Steven Matz against Oakland on the other side of that. It's Oakland, so fine. Brandon Pfaadt is going against the Cubs. Some people might want that higher. I don't really love Brandon Pfaadt. I think his sweepers is only good offering, and the other two aren't, and that kind of breaks the Wascarino rule, but even that's more like two-pitch pitcher. But then again, his changeup doesn't really show up sometimes. I don't know. The Cubs are good. I'm terrified of that. I don't really want to do it. Luis Severino showcased his cutter last time. That's really cool, but that cutter isn't enough. I need to see the four-seamer actually doing damage well up in the zone as well, I should say, up in the zone. It's also lost its IVB, and also the slider and changeup I don't really expect to come back, so I'm a little conflicted, but if he has that cutter working, this could very well work for Severino. Jordan Hicks is going high four-seamers, low changeups. That's great, but he also needs one more pitch to actually make this work. It goes against the Diamondbacks. It could be a fun game for him, but we haven't really seen him have that breakout start yet. And Tyler Wells has been very disappointing for us, but it's the Twins. Maybe this does work for Tyler Wells. It's a good win chance, all that kind of stuff. And he hasn't been pitching terribly. He just hasn't been pitching exceptionally well. You have do not start tier AJ Puck against the Giants. It's possible this is the one where it wakes up and everything. That'd be great, but I need to just see that happen first. Keaton Win against the Marlins. Maybe it's okay, but I just don't think that he does enough in his arsenal for us to really check out the or go after the reward for a pretty sizable risk. Pretty low floor. Bailey Falter maybe works against the Mets, but I don't really love this. Eric Fede against the Royals just isn't, it's too pedestrian for Toby. And JP France against Atlanta is just too risky. Ryan Feltner against the Phillies, it's out of Coors, it's in Philly, but no. Ben Lively's starting again against the Red Sox in Fenway, so no thank you. And Jake Irvin, of course, against the Dodgers, absolutely not. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for getting PL Pro, joining our Discord. We do so many things at Pitcher List. So many. Check out our site. Go explore it. Go hang out with us on the live stream or inside the Discord on Twitter. We are your home of baseball. Seriously, our mission statement is baseball for all. We want to enjoy this game the way that it's supposed to be enjoyed. So come on by. If we don't have something that you want, let us know because we want to make it for you. That is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low. And your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.